verse 23. As we look at this, and as you're turning to it, it should also be up on the screen. And as we're thinking about this, this is the birth of Jesus. And at this point, Joseph is beginning to find out that he has a girlfriend that he has been engaged to, that he is about to be married to, that is pregnant. And it's not his. Now, custom says that he could break the divorce off, he could have her put away. There are any number of things that he could do. But as we see, this angel has come to talk to Joseph and to let Joseph know that everything is okay. Everything is going to be just fine with all of the situations at hand. It's not by some other man, but it is from God that Mary is conceived. That it is God that has worked everything out. And this is what he's saying in the last part of that little section there. In verse 23, he says, "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son. And they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." May God add a blessing upon this reading. As we think about Christmas, you see in the bulletin it says it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. And as we think about it, if you look around, you'll see that we have Christmas ties, nativity ties, different reds and greens and different colors. If you look around, we've got this tree over here that's decorated. We probably have our own trees decorated. My neighborhood went overboard this year, and I think we look like Scrooge because we have the least amount of decorations out there. Blow-up Christmas trees are everywhere, aren't they? Snowmen, they actually shake and vibrate, and all of those types of things. You ride through town. How many of you have just spent time just at night just riding around and looking at all the Christmas lights? Anybody do that? Am I the only one that does that? Huh? Got a few nods? We'll get the rest of you awake here in just a minute. Not, I'll bring Chad back up here. He knows how to do it. We do, don't we? We want to look around and to see, and it is beginning to really look like Christmas. All of our college students and all our kids from school are out from winter break. Oh, I'm sorry, we can't say Christmas anymore, can we? It's winter break. It's not Christmas anymore, is it? We look forward, when I was growing up, for what? Christmas break. But now it has become winter break. And we sing that song, "It's Beginning to Look Like Christmas." We see the shopping malls and all the retail stores have had stuff out for how long? Since October? Mid-October? Looking? I don't know about you, but I tried to walk away from that because I wasn't ready for Christmas at that point. I didn't want to see those kinds of stuff. But many people mail Christmas cards out. They send and receive them. Families come together, and I'm glad to see that my family's in today and others have come in. Others are going to celebrate Christmas today and the next day and Christmas Day and the day after. And whenever we can get our families together, we want to spend Christmas time together, don't we? And we love seeing under that tree all of those Christmas presents waiting to be opened. Now, I'm sure there's nobody in here that has picked up any of their presents and seen their name on it and kind of shake it a little bit and try to figure out what's been done. We get excited about those things, don't we? And it's something about that beautiful colored paper that says, "I want to open it." And on that day that you open it, how many of you untape it and never tear the package open? And you fold the paper up because you want to use it next year, right? I don't know about you, but I'm still a kid. When it comes time and they hand says, "Here's your present," it's like rip in one shot. I've got it down pat. You will not reuse that paper again. And it doesn't take but a second for it to go up in the air, and before it can hit the floor, I've got that present open, and I already know what it is. And I'm excited about it. We love those kinds of things. I love now to see my kids as they were growing up. And now this morning we had our foster kids and they were doing the same thing and learning how to rip it open, and with their eyes just light up when they saw what they got. That's great. That's exciting, isn't it? It is beginning. Pageants at the churches, the cantatas that are sung, all of this makes it feel more and more like Christmas. But as you watch TV, as you look around, we see that many Christmases are celebrated with Frosty the Snowman, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. It's a Wonderful Life. And all of these new ones that are coming out. And even this year, have you looked at the 25 days of Christmas? Everybody made sure to get home to see which one it was going to be that night, right? We think about all of these things, and as we come in, we see that there are parades of lights. One of the favorite things that I used to love to do, and that's just too far to do it, is go down to the racetrack here in Bristol and see the wonderful lights that they have done. Thousands of lights, probably millions of lights in that thing, and how long it took to set it up. And the people that drive from all over the world to see it. Wouldn't it be great if we saw people all over the state to drive here on Christmas Eve to worship our Lord Jesus Christ? Wouldn't it be great to see as many people that gather at these different events gather to worship God and the baby Jesus? But you know, we're seeing that Mary and Joseph and Jesus and the wise men and the shepherds are getting replaced, aren't they? With commercialism and all of the things that go with it. We see that our shepherds are wrapped in bathrobes and towels wrapped around their heads as a reminder. But as we think about that, as we come this morning, we come to remember what the Christmas is all about. And so in the next several minutes, I want to share with you three things. First, Christmas is singing and rejoicing. I love the old hymns, don't you? Joy to the world, silent night, O come ye all faithful, and on. There are just bunches of them in our hymnal. We hear them on TV. I love to hear them. And yes, I love Frosty the Snowman and Jingle Bells and all of those too. But those are just fun songs. The others really have a message. And we find out that these songs really are scriptural. As you look at the theology behind each hymn that you sing, you can see that they come right out of the pages. Listen to this one. The King of Kings lay thus in lowly manger, in our trials born to be our friend. He knows our need, to our weakness is no stranger. Behold your King, before him lowly bend. Mild he lays his glory by. Born that man no more may die. Born to raise the sons of earth. Born to give them second birth. That's right out of scriptures, isn't it? So you see, the songs that we're singing today really have meaning. They have powerful words that proclaim our Lord Jesus Christ. And what better way than to proclaim it through song, through rejoicing in our Lord Jesus Christ. He has died, He has risen, and He has given us chances. He has given us the blood, the power of Jesus Christ. And therefore, we should claim that victory in Jesus Christ, and we should rejoice, shouldn't we? And that doesn't mean 11 o'clock service. That means we should rejoice each and every day of our lives. Now, I'm sure many of you that have sung some of these songs driving down the road, you heard them on the radio or something. But what about the rest of the year? What kind of songs do we sing? Could you imagine in July somebody singing We Three Kings? Could you imagine somebody singing Silent Night? What Child Is This? Why don't we sing them other than just in December? In fact, by January, what happens? We push all the Christmas stuff aside and move on, don't we? But Jesus' birth was not just for one night. It was for every night. And we need to proclaim the birth of Christ as He has commanded us. The angels proclaimed it to the shepherds. The shepherds went and saw. And as they saw, they did what? They went and proclaimed it also. And we need to proclaim what Jesus has done for us, each one of us. And we need to hear that message and share that message. Secondly, Christmas is giving and receiving. Now, we've already talked about the presents, and we like to give and we like to receive, don't you? I remember as a child, my parents, the faces, the smiles on their faces when we opened our presents. And I remembered the joy that I had because I got what I wanted. As an adult, I got to experience what my parents experienced. I got the joy of watching my children open their presents and that smile on their face. That is what we remember, the giving and receiving of gifts, don't we? But sometimes we forget the perfect gift has already been given. The perfect gift was Jesus. With the perfect gift, we don't have to worry about how we're going to pay for the bills that we put on the credit card, how we're going to do this, or whether we can get that or not. Christmas is about God giving one gift. He gave one gift to all of us. And it is spelled out, "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life." That is the perfect gift. And it is for all of us. You know, you've heard one size doesn't fit all. And that's true. But in this case, this one gift fits everyone. Isn't that great to know that? No one gives a gift without the expectations of receiving something too. Can you imagine how God must feel when someone accepts Him, His Son, as Lord and Savior? He feels good about it because that was why He gave it. Every gift under the Christmas tree was planned with a specific individual in mind. God also, in Luke 15:10, says, "In the same way I tell you, there is no rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." Can you imagine on Christmas morning, Christmas Eve, someone accepting Jesus Christ's gift, the one and only gift? Gift giving and receiving is meaningless without understanding God's truth. Now, one of the things that we try to instill on Christmas was when the kids would get up, and my oldest one was the biggest baby, and he's going to laugh at me and probably beat me up after church this afternoon, but he was always the first one up. "Is it time yet? Is it time yet?" And we finally had to say, "Yes, it's time," because if you didn't, we still weren't going to get any sleep, so we might as well go ahead and get up. So here we were, rushing into the room. And I'll never forget the first time. We stopped them dead in their tracks. We had them to sit down. And we took a candle, and we lit it. We sang, "Happy Birthday to Jesus." Then we read scriptures, and we sang, and we had a prayer. And then we opened presents. You see, we can teach our children, can't we, what Christmas is all about. It's not about all the presents underneath the tree. That's a secondary thing. But what we need to teach them about Christmas and why we celebrate, it's exactly what we did with the Advent for the last 4 weeks. And we will light the Christ candle on Christmas Eve to remember what it's all about, giving and receiving. Thirdly, Christmas is knowing Christ. Revisionists would like to change history. They would like to just do away with it. We've done away from it at school. We can't see at the courthouse how they used to put live nativity scenes up. They're not allowed to do those type of things. Some cities even have taken Christmas out of the Christmas parade. It's a holiday parade, and you can put anything in it as long as you don't use the word Christmas, Happy Holidays, or anything else. So as we think about this, Christmas is knowing Jesus Christ. How many parades have you seen that have churches that would have a manger scene with the shepherds and everything as they pulled it through town for everyone to see? That is proclaiming the name of Jesus Christ. But it removes, as we think about this, as we make changes, it makes the essence of Christmas totally different. Can you remember some of the Christmas shows? Remember when Rudolph left and went to the Island of Misfits? those toys felt like they were misfits because they were deformed and they didn't work the way they were supposed to be. At the end of the story, Santa did what? He stopped at the island of Misfit and he took those toys. Now you're wondering where I'm going with this. Folks, we're misfits. Every one of us. Why do I say we're misfits? Because we're sinners. And God has stopped where? On the island of Misfit to take all of us and bring us back. Knowing Christ. If we don't have Christ, we don't have anything. There's no hope. There's no excitement. And I'm going to be honest with you. I have had more fun, more enjoyment of life since I have put Christ first in my life. I enjoy life. As I looked at Jimmy this morning, and Sarah's not being here to keep us all together and everything, I looked at him and he says, "Just don't worry about it, preacher. We got it all covered." Then in the next breath, he says, "What are we going to do about?" We miss Sarah. You know, we have to help each other for guidance. God takes care of all of that for us if we will just trust Him. Who is to blame? We can blame our government. They're the ones that took prayer out of school. They're the ones that decided not to do this. They're the ones that are saying we can't do that. So we can blame the government, can't we? We can blame others. Scrooge. You know any people that are grouchy over the holidays? We can blame them. But the number one person that we need to blame is ourselves. It's not the government's fault. It's not God's fault. It's not Scrooge's fault. It's our fault. Why do I say that? Because if we're not proclaiming the name of Jesus Christ, if we're not excited about our Lord, and if we're not teaching our children about Him, then whose fault is it? It's our fault. We need to teach. We could say it's ungodly, but it's not. God taught us to proclaim, to let our light shine. He told us not to hide it under a bushel, not to hide and put the city out, but to let it light, let it shine. Just as we look at our Christmas trees, and they look beautiful even in the daytime, but at night, what happens? It's like the light just magnified, doesn't it? And they look so much wonderful at night than they do during the day. Our lights can shine brightly, day or night. It doesn't matter. And we need to see the importance of the person of Jesus. He revealed us to God, the Father. He told His disciples, He says, "You have seen Me, you have seen the Father." Have we seen the Father today? Have we seen Jesus? I've seen Jesus more than once in people. Growing up as a child, I had a guy that was in my church. If Jesus looked anything like him, that's exactly who I would describe. Howard Pilkey taught me a lot. Told me about the love of Jesus in Sunday school. As I got older, he taught me how to witness and to share the gospel with people. He loved people. He took a personal interest in me. Until the day that he took his last breath, I was always on his mind. When I left, my parents would always say, "Howard was asking about you. Howard was checking on you." So even when I left, I was still on his mind. My parents also taught me. Not everything, but they taught me a lot. They taught me about love. Just as the love they described is Jesus. His name even tells us. In verse 23, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a God, and they will call Him Emmanuel, which means what? God with us. So we see God is revealed through Jesus Christ. Do you know Jesus this morning? Do you know His name? Do you know Him personally? We cannot understand or know what Christmas is about In John 17:13-3, he says, "Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." Do you know Him? Can others know Him through you? Christmas is singing and rejoicing. Christmas is giving and receiving. Christmas is knowing Christ. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day. We thank You for letting us be reminded what Christmas is all about. That it is about Your gift to us, and for us to receive Your gift, Jesus Christ. That we may have life, and have life more full. Father, help us as Christians to enjoy that fullness. Help us to have the joy that You've given us, the love and the peace. Help us to have that. Help us to share it with others, that others may know too. For it's in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. This morning, the invitation hymn is number 91, Silent Night. This is an invitation that we give. We invite you to make decisions. If you want to accept Jesus Christ, we invite you to come to the front, and I'll be here to pray that prayer with you. If you need to rededicate your life, confess your sins, we ask you to come forward and do that. You can share with me, and I'll pray with you, or you just come and bow here at the altar, either way that you need to do it. We invite you to just come and join this church. If you're not a member, you're looking for a church, we invite you to come and be a part of our church. As we stand and sing our hymn of invitation, number 91, "You Come As the Lord Leads."